Good evening. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to the book of 1 John. Near the very end of our Bibles, 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, we'll read from verse number 10. 1 John 5 and 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Just come back to verse 11, please. Verse 11, this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. I want to think first of all about the assurance of life. In Mr. McCandless' introductory comments, he said that the purpose of such a meeting as this is so that people can be sure that they are saved and they are going to be in heaven. And you have possibly heard someone say that outside of a gospel hall before, and sometimes it strikes people as a little bit arrogant when they hear somebody say, "Oh, I know I have eternal life. I know I'm going to be in heaven. I am certain that I'm saved." And people sometimes think, well, that's a little bit pompous of you. There is a little bit of religious arrogance and pride I sense in you. But it isn't really. It is just a confidence that comes from God's Word. God has just said that, hasn't he? He has said that the person that has the Son of God, they have life. It is a certainty. And it is a wonderful blessing that God has given us to have this life and to know it and to be confident of a place in his kingdom and of a home in heaven and an eternity with God and his Son. That's a wonderful blessing. A wonderful certainty and assurance. And if you have the Son, there's the key issue. But if you have the Son, then according to God's Word, you certainly have life. There is the crux of the issue. I like that word, crux. It is a Latin word. That's its origin. It is the Latin word for cross. And the very centerpiece of history and the very centerpiece of Christianity is the message of the cross. And the man who hung upon that cross, he is the crux of the issue. The main factor in the equation is Christ, God's Son. This life that we enjoy, that we thank God for, that we rejoice in and praise Him for, it is dependent upon God's Son. All about God's Son. The man who wrote the words in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that we already listened to tonight. Listen to his words that he also wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. He said, "Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It is all about the Son of God. And if you want that life that guarantees you a home in heaven and sets you free from your sins, then you need to have God's Son. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." The only way to peace with God and eternal life and home in heaven is through God's Son. That's the blessed truth of the gospel. And the blessed truth is this, that this eternal life, this is the wonder of the gospel. This life that we speak of, it is a life that comes from death. The death of God's Son. I say it's a blessed truth. It's a wonderful thing. You see, a Christian, a true believer does not look back to that scene at Calvary. We don't look at the Lord Jesus there with pity. We look at him with gratefulness. I am not sorry that the Lord Jesus died. I know that he was sinless and a good man and a kind man and a perfect man. I'm not sorry that he died, though, because that's my only hope for life. That's the reason that he came. This eternal life is as certain as the fact that Christ has died. Has Christ died? Certainly. He has died for me. That's why he has given me life. This is the essence of the message of the cross, that God has sent his Son. And his Son, who is sinless, went and hung upon that cross to pay for our sins. We cannot pay for our sins. We are sinful. We couldn't work our way into God's favor. And sin requires death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has died in my place. And God laid on him the judgment for my sins. The Bible says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And because he bore my sins and has died for me, I have received life from him. My life comes from his death. Lee is a Chinese friend of mine who comes to our English second language Bible class in Halifax. Comes a couple of times a week. At the end of a class just a couple of weeks ago, as we tried to explain the gospel from... That was the conversion of the Apostle Paul that we've just been hearing about. Lee and a lady beside him, a Chinese lady beside him, they were murmuring among themselves. I'm speaking to the rest of the group, but they're murmuring and they're debating whether they should ask me this question. And finally, Lee goes to ask me the question, and she's a little bit embarrassed. She tries to hold him back. She's afraid that the question is going to be a little bit offensive. She says, "No, don't ask him that." "No," he says, "I will." He says, "Is it correct to say..." And she kind of tries to turn away. She doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He says, "Is it correct to say that Jesus was born so that he could die?" They thought it was offensive. I wasn't offended by it. I said, "That's exactly right. That is the heart of this gospel message. It's the only way to eternal life." Lee was shocked. He said, this is why we find your Christianity so hard to believe. You know what he's saying there? There is no message like this message. The Son of God becoming a man so that he could die for men and women that were deservedly dead in their sins so that we could have life with God in eternity. There is no message like it. It is only this gospel, this life that is found in God's Son. And before you sit there and think, "Oh, that I'm way better off than Lee. I know more than Lee." Just remember that if you don't have God's Son, you are no better off than Lee. He might be ignorant to it, and it's all new to him. But if you don't have God's Son, you are no closer to heaven than Lee is. No Son, no life. And yet, if you receive God's Son tonight, you would have life. You come into this door and into this hall in your sins, and you can receive Christ as you sit in your chair, and you can leave the meeting knowing that you have eternal life with an assurance that comes not from a magic prayer that we pronounce over you, but with an assurance from God's Word. He that has the Son has life. But he that has not the Son has not life. No Christ, no Son of God, no life, the absence of life. This is the great tragedy of the universe, friend. The great tragedy is not human rights abuses in China. The great tragedy is not starvation in Africa. It is an awful scene. That isn't the great tragedy of the universe. The great tragedy of the universe is that people, perhaps like you, choose not to trust the one whom God has sent to give us life. It says in the Gospel of Matthew 23 and 37, the Lord Jesus says, "How often I would have gathered you, just like a hen gathers her chicks, but you are unwilling. I wanted to bring you to me, but you refuse." Or he says in John 5 and 40, "You are unwilling to come to me that you might have life." There it is. You can have life. And the problem with many is they're just unwilling to come. And yet he reaches out his hand and says, "If you come, you've got life. And if you stand back, you don't have life." Without the Son of God, there is no life. And without life, there is death. That's why the Bible describes people who have a pulse, wide awake, they are breathing, and your heart is beating. But if you don't have Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you are dead in sins. Even while you are physically alive towards God because of sins, spiritually dead. And Ephesians 2 says that people that are dead in their sins, they are on a road that is engineered by Satan, exposed to the wrath and judgment of God and corrupted inside and perhaps out as well by the wickedness of sin. That's what it means to be dead in sins, corrupted by sins. And the Lord warned people of the danger of dying in their sins. In John chapter 8, He says, if you refuse to believe that I am, then you will die in your sins. You see what it comes back to again? What you think of Christ. If you don't believe that I am, He said, the great Son of God from heaven, if you refuse to come to Me and trust Me, then you die in your sins. This life is only in God's Son. It all depends upon what you think of God's Son. And let's be honest and clear with one another. Just thinking that God's Son is a great man or a great prophet or a great teacher is not sufficient to take you to heaven. That is true. Those are true statements, but it is not enough to take you to heaven. Because God's Son is much more than that. He is God manifest in the flesh, and He is the Savior of sinners, and He's the Lord of all. What do you think of God's Son? I think we've made it clear that everything depends, everything hangs upon whether or not you actually have Christ. And having Christ, having God's Son, means that you are enjoying a living relationship with Him. He's meaningful to you. You want to obey Him. You love Him. You follow Him. You have a link with heaven. You have His Spirit living inside of you. Do you have that? Do you have the Son? No Son? No Spirit? No life. And if there is no life, there is not only that spiritual emptiness and loneliness, but a hopelessness. Think for a moment of a man who was in the news a lot more several weeks ago. His name was Bernie Madoff. And Bernie Madoff, well, his job was supposedly an investment manager of sorts, but really his job was just being a fraudster. And he bilked many people of billions of dollars. Many Americans and some Canadians have lost their life savings because they had invested with Bernie Madoff, and Madoff made off with their money. He spent it. It wasn't really invested. Their investments weren't growing like he said they were. It was a multi-billion dollar fraud. He was just sentenced to jail. At 71 years of age, this is the sentence that he received. He's 71. And he was sentenced to 150 years in prison. So he's scheduled to get out when he's, what, 221 years old. In other words, Bernie Madoff has no chance. No hope of ever seeing life outside that jail cell again. No life for Bernie Madoff. But I want to tell you something. Just the fact of being without Christ, that in itself is even worse than any prison cell. Going through life without Christ is being lost. And dying without Christ is being hopeless for eternity. Make sure you don't miss God's Son. The assurance of life. He that has the Son has life. The absence of life. He that has not the Son of God does not have life. Give the Son. Evidence of God's Son, evidence of having God's Son is having His Spirit. I'm going to close with the availability of life. These were the words in verse 11. God has given to us eternal life. Mr. McCandless also made clear that that doesn't mean that everybody has eternal life. God sending His Son as Savior doesn't mean everybody is saved. When it says that God has given us eternal life, He has offered it, and those that have the Son have received that gift. This life is in His Son. God has given us life by giving us His Son. You don't need to question whether God is willing to give you life or not. He has proven it in John 3:16 that says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved the world, and He has given His Son for the world, so that everybody can have that life. Romans 5:8 says that God has demonstrated His love. He has commended His love and proven and given His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think our opening hymn in this meeting was Wonderful Story of Love. And I know you sit there and you hear about being dead in sins and the need to be saved, and you might just question, you shouldn't, but you might question, where's the love? Here's the love, my friend. God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has given us eternal life in His Son. He gave His Son for us. That is love, my friend. And He offers eternal life as a gift. People have a hard time with that. I was just getting my oil changed in my car recently. And while we were there in the waiting room, is that what you call a place in a car dealership? I don't know. It was in the waiting room. And the man beside me began to talk a little bit about how he does yoga. So I asked him if he is fully engaged in the Hindu religion, which is related to yoga. And he shared a little bit about that with me. I got to share with him what the Bible says about how someone can have peace with God and be in heaven very briefly. And he shared with me the Hindu perspective. It was just another reminder of a very well-known fact. And he told me about how he tries to live a good life, and he tries to do his best and be a good neighbor. And ultimately, when whatever they describe the great future, he will have a part in that peaceful universe if he does his best. You see, that's why we do sometimes say that there are actually only two religions in the world. There is the one religion that says, you do what you can and the best you can do, and maybe it all works out. And then there is the Christian gospel that says God's Son has done it all. And we can't do anything to earn it. It's not about what we do. It's just about receiving God's Son. You see? The one side is taken up with what we do. And the Christian gospel alone stands and says this. It's all about what God's Son has done. And sometimes we have a hard time being humble enough to accept that there's nothing for me to do except trust in God's Son. Very recently, the government of Canada, they showed a great act of kindness. They gave a great gift to the land of Haiti. Haiti owed Canada $2.3 million. Haiti's one of the poorest nations in the world. And Canada knew they couldn't pay it. So Canada forgave the debt. In fact, in recent years, Canada has forgiven almost $1 billion in debt from poor nations. Why do they do that? Why do they just let it all go free? Because they know that those nations are in need, and they're desperate, and they can't pay. That's you and I, my friend. That's you and I. Naturally, without Christ, we're in great need. And however much money you may have in your bank account, in God's sight, righteously, you're bankrupt. And you couldn't earn this eternal life, and you couldn't deserve it, and you couldn't work for it. We are desperate, we're in need, and that's why God gives it. He gives it in His Son. And God wants nothing from you and I except confidence in Christ. Because we are spiritually bankrupt and empty-handed and helpless. And it's humbling to admit that we have nothing, but it is wonderful to see all we need is Christ. You know, there is a moment in time that is both a horrible and a wonderful realization. At the same moment, it is horrible, but it's wonderful. And it's the moment that someone recognizes, I don't have Christ, I don't have life, and I'm lost in my sins. Now that's horrible. Because it seems very dark and very hopeless when we come face to face with that. But it's wonderful. Because it's being honest with God. And that's a very important step in finding eternal life. First, we need to be honest about the fact that I don't have it. You see, we're not born with it, remember? We're not born on that narrow road. We're not born with eternal life. We're not born with God's Son inside of us. And the first step is admitting, I don't have this, what you're talking about. I don't have His Son. I don't have eternal life. But I want it. Good for you. You can only find this life in God's Son. And if you would receive Him tonight, you would begin to live. The Lord Jesus said, He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. As many as received Him, to them gave He the authority to become children of God, even as many as believed on His name. You see, you trust Christ, then you have God's Son, then you have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus and thank Thee for those crystal clear words of Scripture that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We thank Thee for sending Him. And we bless Thee for His willingness to come. We know that we didn't deserve Him, but how much we needed Him. We thank Thee that He has paid for our sins and that Thou art offering eternal life tonight. And we pray that as the Spirit of God is at work with the Scriptures that have been preached, that there would be a sinner here tonight who would be honest with God and admit their need, admit their absence of life, but would have a desire to know and to have this life with Christ. We ask Thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I do thank you for coming. And I thank you for having Esther and myself and our children with you for the day. It is our privilege to be with you. And we thank you not only for your kindness today, but the kindness of the assembly towards us on a regular basis. We appreciate it, and we appreciate your prayers. We're going to sing in closing a couple of verses of 126. 126. Oh, what a Savior that He died for me. And the chorus says, He that believeth on the Son, 'tis true, hath everlasting life. We'll sing verse 1 and 3. Verse 1 and 3 of 126. Then our meeting will be over. And again, we thank you for coming.